we get things underway this hour with a little love.
Baby, don't hurt me no more. Oh, baby, don't hurt me no more.
Fresh from the sequel to A Night at the Roxbury, it's Alan Adams of The Main Edge to ask, as he did this week on the cover story, the musical question, what is love? Welcome, Al.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Nice to see you here on this Valentine's Day.
Good to see you as well. Glad to be here. Sorry I missed out on Wednesday, but I was actually doing some early Valentining down Portland way Wednesday
evening.
Good
for you.
So, yeah, we went down there. Had dinner at 4th Street. We'd never eaten there before.
Very nice.
It was marvelous. Had a wonderful evening. Met up with some friends. Had some drinks. Had some laughs. Celebrated, etc. We'll be doing some more celebrating this evening, but... just living my best life is what
I'm
doing.
There you go. Well, a very interesting cover story this week in The Main Edge about love. And you found a really remarkably diverse and interesting group of people to answer that question.
Well, you know, it's funny. We always struggle a little bit with Valentine's Day as far as like how we're going to cover it. And we've taken some different tacks over the years. And I really wanted to try to do something a little bit different this year. And when this particular idea came to me, it really struck me as one that I thought would had a lot of potential to be really interesting. And so, as you said, basically, I reached out to a number of very smart, very talented people from all walks, and just asked them that basic question. You know, what is love? And I reached out to some people in more academic disciplines. Sociology, biology, psychology, and I spoke to some of my creative, more artistic friends and got answers from them as well. And the really remarkable thing about it was just how diverse the answers I got were. Mm. And I asked people to tackle it through the lens of their particular discipline, but even that allowed for a far more flexibility and freedom with regards to the answer than I anticipated. Like I kind of had in my head a certain way that it was going to go. And so many people just surprised me in so many wonderful, wonderful ways.
What were some of the more surprising responses?
Probably the weirdest of the bunch was our good friend Danny Williams, executive director at the Collins Center for the Arts, who wrote a lovely little treatise about his affection for mustard. it's just one of those things. It's just like it takes us on a little journey.
Yes,
with
yes.
regards to mustard, and it's just one of those things where it's like, you know, Danny, you magnificent weirdo, don't you ever change. No, it was great. So you have someone like that. And then I reached out to Dr. Amy Blackstone, author of Child Free by Choice. She's a professor of sociology at the University of Maine, for the sort of sociologist's point of view, particularly from her specific perspective, because so much of her research does revolve around relationships. And that was really fascinating. It was really wonderful to get a sense of of how that sort of how it's viewed through her discipline. That was really interesting.
Were there any different views on love from the people you talked to based on gender?
There wasn't a lot of discussion of that. It was mostly springing from. I felt like everything came from a very individual place, even if it was being reflected through the lens of this discipline or that discipline. Like everyone really answered from the heart in a way that I expected things to maybe get a little bit more clinical in some places. But even the more science driven one, my friend Karen Pelletreau, who works at the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning at UMaine. She's the director of educational development, but she's a PhD botanist by trade, a biologist. And so she brought this really wonderful sort of sense of, what that means, physically, but also how that connects to our sort of perception of, the sort of societal perception of love. And, Scott Misler, he's a husband to our friend Jerry, He's a clinical psychologist, and he gave a wonderful answer, very layered and nuanced answer that really sort of ran the gamut from the sort of the early like analytical days up through some more modern ideas about what love means. So that was, I mean, that was really fascinating too. And you know, and everyone sort of injected it with just a little bit of humor, a little bit of lightheartedness. Like it was just like everyone took it far more seriously than I ever could have dared to ask them to. Like, because you know, something like this, it's like you're making a not insignificant demand on someone's time. You're asking them to put together their thoughts to sort of answer this question, this deceptively simple but still fairly complex question. In their own, you know, in their own way, and it's just the breadth of answers that I got. You know, I spoke to Mike Dowell, who was someone where it's like, you know, as someone who had a long career as a wedding DJ, you know, that's someone I want to know what that guy thinks love is.
Mm.
And he told a wonderful story about a couple that you know, in their wedding reception. Yeah. It's very funny, you know, and it's just like those are the sorts of stories that I wanted. But I gotta say, maybe my favorite, you know, I had some of the artistic ones were really great. My friend Kat Johnson, our friend Jen Shepherd from Improv Acadia, because the fundamentals of the way they approach improvisation is through love. And so I thought they would, you know, Jen would have a great answer. Lucas Richman from the Bangor Symphony Orchestra had a lovely, lovely answer. But I will tell you, I think my favorite of the bunch was our good friend Bruce Pratt, who's right here in the studio.
Wow, how about that?
Because he gave me an answer, perhaps the most unexpected answer that I got. Instead of writing some sort of treatise about his answer to the question of what is love, Bruce actually sent me a couple of poems that he had written. That expressed the idea that the answer that had, and it was, and they're both very, very lovely pieces of work. And I actually asked Bruce off air; I didn't want to spring it on him, you know, in real time. I asked him if he would be willing to share one of them on the air, and he said that he would be willing to do so. So
can you read that small print, Bruce?
Yes, I sure can.
So, I will cede the floor to Mr. Pratt.
I'm really honored to do this. This is a poem I wrote in October 2011 for my wife. I was coming back from Black Cap Mountain, walking down the mountain. I'd been up bird hunting, and I really hadn't really even tried to hunt any birds. It was just for a walk in the woods with my shotgun. And I started to think about how we define the parameters of our lives, and sometimes they're fences and walls, and it's just so much better when it's the stream, the edge of the field, that hill over there. And I thought about that sort of the way love is. It's not about where the fences and walls are. It's called I Know Why a Man. I know why a man yearns to wander land of his own, to amble among kindred, orchard, field, maple grove, marking his and another's not by fence, wall, or gate, but the stream's bend, the intersection of abandoned roads. I know why a man seeks solace in singing spring fields, wades amid the waving waist-high hay of waning summer, lies down as colors riot to know the earth's last warmth, rambles with gun and dog in rasping grasses of November. And I know why a man takes a woman to be his lover, to wake with to the antiphonal airs of May warblers, to tangle with in the damp heat of moonstruck July covers, to cleave to when rising Orion girds his belted cynosure, to calm in the bleak storm-sung rage of dark December, and to cobble the southern griefs of their sorrows together.
Man.
Right.
Hello.
That's what I'm talking about.
Wow.
Like, that's the sort of thing that you hope to get. Like, you, it's not even that you hope to get. Like, you don't, because you don't consider it a possibility to get, you know, something that profound from something like this. But in so many ways, like, so many of these people offered these little bits of profundity, you know, and some of them are, you know, are thoughtful and thought-provoking, and some are goofy and a little absurd, but it all felt so honest and so sincere and genuine in a way that just it's something that I'm very proud of the way that it came together, and I'm really thrilled that so many people because I think Like, I didn't get any no's. Like, that's the other thing. Like, when you do it, when you undertake a project like this, you expect, like, you expect to throw stuff at the wall, see what sticks. And then it's like, you know, when you need to, you know, when half of the people either, you know, pass or don't respond at all, well, you sort of continue on forward. Everybody was just so jazzed to be involved with something like this. Because, again, I think every one of us has that connection, that idea of what love is. And, you know, we may struggle to articulate it in you know, so many words, but we know it when we see it. We know it when we feel it. And to have all these people, these wonderful, again, incredibly smart, incredibly talented, incredibly busy people take time out of their lives to share their thoughts on such a sort of really important, I think, question, particularly in the times in which we currently live. It was just, I'm so grateful, and I'm so proud of this story, and I'm so happy that that so many people seem to have gotten something, you know, something real out of it. And I'm very appreciative, and I think it feels very appropriate to be sharing this on today of all days.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Loved it. Great work to you and everybody who contributed.
Yeah, thanks. It's really something special.
And thank you, Bruce.
Oh, my pleasure. And I think, Alan, you hit it on the head. It was in this day and age, this is what people want to talk about. There's enough hate out there. I said, sure, I'm in.
Thanks, Alan. Thanks for coming in on Valentine's Day.
Oh, of course. I'm. Thank you for shuffling the schedule and allowing me to come in.
Always for you, because as we know, you are the reigning Downtown Madness champion.
And the most tenured guest
for another month and a half.
Yeah, right. No, the I'm sure my time at the top is coming to an end. But
one never knows.
It's been a great time here at the top.
Well, and it just adds to the love we feel for you, my friend.
I'll back at you, my friend.
Thank you. Enjoy your time tonight with
you as well,
Sheridan. Wish her a happy Valentine's Day.
I absolutely will.
Bruce was saying earlier, he's been married longer than you've been alive.
Yeah, no.
36 years in June.
Yeah, no, you got me. You got me. Not by much, but you got me.
Man. Well, here we are, the Men Who Married Up Club, and we're all doing well.
Yep.
Four for four in this room, I would say.
Yes, that is accurate.